Good morning. This is your instructor with a quick podcast regarding our topic of victims, survivors, interventions. This week, I ask you to view a video regarding a male who was being abused by his spouse and his daughter, who was sort of caught in the crossfire. And your posts were really good, but there's several things I want to bring attention to. First and foremost, it is extremely important that you do not offer couples counseling when there is intimate partner violence in the relationship. Many of you chose that as an intervention, but some of you did recognize the danger of that. Obviously, abuse is about power and control, as we've already established. And whenever you put those two parties in a setting, such as a therapeutic counseling session, we are setting that survivor up to be harmed even more so, because anything that he or she says in the counseling session can and likely will be used to harm that person emotionally or physically or otherwise after the session. There is that imbalance of power in that relationship, so those two cannot engage in counseling safely. And a good counselor who has experienced in intimate partner violence would not even consider seeing that couple. Ironically, I was referred a couple on just last night, and there was substance abuse in a relationship. There's domestic violence along with chronic homelessness and many other things. And I was referred the couple for couples counseling. And so the first thing I did was educate the person who happened to be a member of clergy on the danger of that, in hopes that he will not make that type of a referral recommendation when there was known intimate partner violence again. And then I explain the need for each of them to work on their issues separately. And if there is to be couples counseling, it will be much, much further down the line. The other thing I wanted to address is the child abuse reporting. Only a few of you caught that there's a need to report child abuse in this case, because we certainly saw some neglect with the child. I think I named her Julie. I can't remember. So that needs to be reported to CPS if you're in Texas. And then finally, the other thing that I wanted to address that I saw that was pretty common was asking Matt what he wanted to do. And when a person is in crisis and they're coming to you for assistance, the last thing we want to do is to pressure them to make a decision about if they're going to stay or leave their relationship. That's a pretty big decision to make, and we don't want to apply any pressure either way. So our intervention should be designed to help them regardless of what they chose to do. There should be a plan for if they leave and a plan for if they stay, and they can easily address their needs right then. For whatever is needed right then is what needs to be addressed. Everything else, long-term decisions they can make, because as we know, I mean, they can make later, because as we know, they often change their minds, and we don't want to imply that they have to make that decision in order for us to help them. We just want to intervene in both situations, and that's what you'll do in your safety plan assignment. Again, I hope this exercise was helpful. Men are absolutely survivors of intimate partner violence, as well as women, and there are resources out there to help them, contrary to what many of the posts said. While they can't just usually go into a shelter and be housed right away like most women can, shelters do have resources for them. If you give them the 1-800 number or the number to a local shelter, at least the ones in DFW have resources for men. They usually involve putting them up in a hotel and not being physically at the shelter with the females. But there are resources out there. So just because you're not aware of them, don't assume that they don't exist. Please let me know if you have any questions about this mini podcast. And I hope you guys have a great week. I'll see you soon.